everyone. I'm Rhea Koval, and you're listening to OCR Audio.
Hi, my name is Mac Rush, the King of Obstacles. I just moved to Denver, and now you're listening to OCR Audio. Did I not say I just moved to Denver? That was stupid. That's not even true. I didn't even move to Denver. I moved to Colorado Springs.
Okay, guys, so we are without Luke today, but we have got Tash and Jack on the line, and we've got a guest, someone you might have seen this weekend absolutely run down the hills like a mad guest.
I'm just going to interrupt you. We should do a spoiler alert.
What's the spoiler alert?
And say if you haven't watched The Big Bear live yet,
we've got the winner right with us.
Do not listen to this podcast until you have, because Jack's about to introduce the winner.
Yeah, we have. So we have the winner of the Beast Big Bear. That is Johnny Luna Lima. How are you doing, Johnny? You all right?
I'm doing well. It's a little gloomy morning here in California, but still a good day.
Yeah, I know. We're here in the UK. We've got glorious sunshine at the minute, so it looks like it's a bit rolling.
Oh, yeah? That's hard to believe.
This is a tan. This is like a pink tan, what I've got on my face here. Call it an English tan, which you'll know probably a little bit about, being living in Europe for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get straight into it, Johnny. Where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Damn, come on, guys.
No, I have to admit, as soon as I saw you go down that first hill, I said to Jack a minute ago, I was open mouthed. I was just like, I thought Atkins could descend, but my God. And that was it. I thought, he's got this. Unless he dies and blows up, which I doubt it, he has got this. That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's my first year doing the Spartan Race series. I've been competing since 2015, but I had a little break and injury, but I never fully committed to the series. So it's been a learning experience, you know, like doing the first three races, I was like, I noticed that, like, just like the nuances that go into actually being capable to run with the top guys and sustain their pace and whatnot. And it's just a lot of small details. And then Big Bear just happened, the course just happened to suit my strengths. And then I was a lot more calm than in previous races. And then I guess I was able to string it together. And it made for a fun day.
How do you plan that, Johnny? So when you went up that, what looked like a ridiculous first sort of mountain climb, had you planned to be in the lead at that point and go that early? Or was it just a case of, okay, I'm here, Atkins is behind me, let's just see what I can do?
Yeah, so I never really create crazy, like, sort of super detailed race plans to execute. I keep it pretty simple. So I guess my plan going into the race was to stay just present with where I was in that moment, and to not allow myself to get carried away by competitors, just because, I don't know, some people just go out super hard and then you're like, oh my God, I beat this guy last race and he's in front of me and now I need to go out super hard with him. It's like, no, it's a mountain race, so things are a bit different on the mountain, you know? But then, yeah, I guess I wasn't sure if I was a faster climber or descender than Ryan Atkins, to, for the matter of fact, but like I had a gut feeling that I was a faster defender, that I was a faster descender. But then when I found myself, I guess, running next to Ryan Atkins, that early on, it was kind of weird. I'm not going to lie, 'cause he's been like one of my idols for such a long time. Like, I've been trying to like replicate like the way he trains and whatnot. And then like, as you're running by him, you get some like small waves of doubts, but then like you try to center yourself and you're like, okay, you still feel good, just keep pushing, like keep pushing within your comfort zone, and then see what you can do.
Well, even at the end of the race, so the Atlas Stone was quite near the end, I remember watching your five burpees compared to Atkins, and you bashed those out, like jumping in the air like you were a Bambi. You know, it was amazing. I was like, well, okay.
Bambi.
Yeah. I was like, how has he got that much energy when he's just been up and down the mountain about 13 times? What's your background in running, Johnny? What's take us right back? Because I'm sure that as you're quite new to Spartan, people know your name, but they might not know your background.
Yeah, so I didn't start running until I was 19. But before that, I played soccer or football. I played soccer from when I was 4 to about 19 years old. And then I grew up playing, and I guess, I played fairly competitive level here in the U.S. And then I went to go play in university, but then within the first year, I got really burnt out. And then a couple months, just while I was playing soccer, I happened to get a stress fracture in my shin. So then I was dealing with the burnout from soccer and a stress fracture. And I was watching TV one day and I saw Spartan Race World Championships. It was the race in Killington where John Alvin won his first world championship. And I was like, I told my sister, I'm like, damn, this looks really cool. I think I could totally do this thing. And then a couple months later, after my shin healed up, I signed up for my first Spartan race in Las Vegas, which was in 2015. And then a couple months later, I was towing the line myself at the first Tahoe World Championship.
Oh, and wow.
And then I've been slowly chipping away in my training ever since.
How did that first Tahoe go?
It went well. I'd say it went well. I mean, I was it went well. I finished 19th, I think. 19th or 20th.
Oh, that's pretty damn good.
I think I was 19 years old at the time. That year was really cold. Like, that was by far the coldest Tahoe year.
Yeah, that swim does not look fun.
No, it does not look fun. That's pretty much my athletic background. And then, during this span between 19 and now, I guess since when I started, unfortunately, I had to take some time off because of the stress fracture in my shin came back. So then from 2016 to early 2017, I couldn't run. But now it's better. Now I can run.
So are you telling me when you did Edinburgh Beast, you weren't fully fit? Because I'm about to cry.
Oh, did you do Edinburgh?
I did Edinburgh. I actually ended up winning that beast.
That was my first sort of beast, that race. And silly for me to pick that particular course in the UK because that's probably the most altitude we've ever had in the UK.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, Johnny, but that day was miserable as well. It was miserable.
That day was miserable. I mean,
miserable. But at that time, I thought I was quite a good race. I thought I was quite a good racer, and I've gone out stupidly fast in the first sort of 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah.
And I think I'm back of 2 or 3, and then I hear this howling coming from behind me, and there's me starting to die, and these two, who are clearly American, and it was Carl Schwartz.
Yeah, Carl Schwartz, yeah.
And yourself fly past, like you're talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you serious? And now you're telling me you were injured?
No. So that was the year I came back from injury. So let's see. So I came back from injury that April. But then that was July. So by then I was running a decent amount, nothing crazy. You know, I really had to limit just the amount I was running. But I wasn't injured that race. I was fit to go.
That makes me feel better.
if you compare Edinburgh to what we just saw at Big Bear, it's nothing.
Yeah, I get that. But
I don't know about that. I mean, Edinburgh is a tough course, you know? You just have relentless hills. It's just up, down, up, down, up, down, and it's wet. And then you have just like, I don't know, you're just running through just grass fields the whole time, you know?
On camber.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Off camera, and it's a different type of challenge, definitely. Like Big Bear is more like that soul breaking long 30-minute climb or whatever. Yeah. And
and that weather different. In Edinburgh in July of all times. I was like, what is this?
Were you at that race too?
I tried the ultra and I got told I wasn't allowed to do the second lap because my lips were blue and I had hypothermia.
Oh, nice.
And to be fair, it's probably a bit silly to try an ultra. I'd only just started Spartan racing at the end of the year before. I thought I'll do the ultra. And I was
excited. Yeah, I can take July. On anything.
Yeah, it's going to be nice and sunny. It'll be fine. And because I'm not very good in the cold. Yeah. So that was not a pleasant experience.
I also think that was the first year they put Twister on course and it was the very last obstacle coming into the finishing line and everyone failed. I don't know if Johnny's got it, but none of us English guys had even seen that before. We weren't sure what it was.
I don't know. That was the day that, I don't know, some dude just came up to Twister and did it backwards for the first time. And then
everyone did it.
Yeah, then everyone started doing it backwards. Like, I went sideways that day and it took me forever. And this guy just flew through it.
That was Mitch Jule, wasn't it? The French guy, I think, who came third. Mitch Jule, is it?
No, Mishka, he failed it, I remember.
At that point, Johnny, were you living in Europe?
No, so at that, I was traveling with Cole. So that summer, we went to, we started our travels in Italy, then we went to Chamonix for like a month. And then from Chamonix, we went to Scotland. And then from Scotland, we went to Austria. So we're just training for the mountains in Europe. That was a fun trip.
That brings me on to my next question. Sorry, Tash. I was going to say, we get this a lot, and this is someone that can answer this quite well. We were talking to Jack Bauer a little while ago about some stats about European races in America and vice versa.
Yeah.
How different do you think, I mean, we've already touched upon it, are Spartan races here in Europe compared to America?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I've had this conversation with a couple of people and I'd say obstacle-wise, they're pretty similar, but the biggest difference is the terrain. The terrain in Europe is a lot more rugged, especially in the races I've done, like Morzine, Andorra, and Edinburgh. Like those races in particular, I think if we did a Spartan Race World Championship or some sort of big championship race, we'd see a drastically different top 10 or 15, depending who decides to come play. Just because the...
Nudge, nudge, eh, Johnny?
Yeah.
Let's get it away from Tahoe and bring it to Morzine. I'm well up for that.
No, I mean, I like Tahoe. I like Tahoe. I mean, Tahoe's always been good to me. So we'll see this year. But... I mean, I wouldn't mind to see some big competitive race in Morzine, you know, or in Andorra, or even in Edinburgh, because just it's the terrain's just unique and stuff that we don't see here in America. It's like there you also have the challenge of the obstacles, but there you're able to really challenge the racers with just rugged terrain. I guess like we do see that in Killington a bit, like it right now, the trend here in the US seems like a really fast paced course, you know?
Yeah, they like to make the paths over here. They don't give you a path. They go, go on, you make the path.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor old Jack Shins make the path. That's what happens. It's interesting because Lindsay Webster, Nicole Miracle, I know Lindsay's coming over in a few weeks to Italy to do a sky race. Nicole's obviously loves Austria for her climbing. And they all say they love coming up to Europe because of the running. And I always find that mind-boggling as you've got, I mean, they're from Colorado, you know, you just think some of the trails up there must be incredible, but yet they love to come up, like say Chamonix. I mean, I ski Chamonix nearly every year and that place is beautiful for running.
Yeah. I mean the trail running in Europe is just incredible. Like I just moved to Boulder actually, and I'm having such a good time. So like, I mean, if I were to compare the California trails to Boulder, like Boulder is like just a whole different planet. It's just way more rugged. But then if I were to compare Boulder to like some European trails, like in Europe, like you just have Via Ferrata is just, and where you're like hanging off a, I don't know, 2000 foot cliff and you're just, you know, walking along it. You don't have that in the US. But I mean, there are the trails in Europe do tend to be more technical. Than here in the US. So like if we're to put a Spartan race on that, I think it would definitely shake things up. It would terrorize some people's ankles. So
are you gonna be doing the Euros this year in Dolomites, Italy?
No, not this year. I've traveled quite a bit the past 2 years and I've just I just decided that I really want to just, I don't know, explore the American Rockies and the Sierra Nevadas. So then I'll be doing some adventures out here, but focusing on the Spartan series still.
There you go, maybe. Jack. You can breathe a sigh of relief.
No, but Harry Robert Kane is going there.
We did Morzine last year, and you yourself did it and came third, didn't you?
Yeah.
Just for me, just so I can get an idea, what was more, and you're going to say it's completely different, but for instance, this race just gone in Big Bear, does Morzine compare?
Yes, it compares in the way that, so Morzine, like the downhill running was a lot more technical, but it compares in the way that it was just like really steep climbs. But I'd say if I had to compare the courses side by side, Morzine was more difficult. Just because the nature of the carries, I think in Morzine you had a sandbag, a bucket, and a chain carry.
Don't go there with that bloody sandbag. Oh my god.
Yeah. And like that sandbag in Morzine was just like, that thing was ruthless. It was just straight up, I don't know, what was it, like 100 meters vertical gain and then straight back down. I don't know, it may have been more than that.
I'm getting scared.
I'd say that the European Championship course was more difficult than Morzine, but that Big Bear, it was definitely faster paced. As weird as that sounds, just for the nature of the course, like in Big Bear, you're just able to climb faster and descend quicker just because the descents weren't technical. Well, they were sort of technical, but you know, this is just a ski run that it was just like,
you just didn't notice because you're going down them too quick.
It seemed to me it's pretty wide, like you could sort of just, like you say, it wasn't, I mean, Morzine, that once you got off the top of that A-frame of Morzine, you had to S-bend round. There wasn't no straight lining, you had to pick your path. That's what you were doing.
You could make your straight line there, man.
I lost two toenails because of that bloody hill. Wrong shoe choice, 100% wrong shoe choice.
I remember that. That was a good hill.
I love the fact he's like, that was great, Jack. It's like, it gave me nightmares.
I thought I was good at downhills until I saw that bit, honestly. Some of those French guys, like Jackie Bisset coming down that hill, and Sergi Bicorini, oh my God, just like, woof, gone, down.
How did you get that brave going downhill? Like, are you brave?
How did I get that brave?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I'm not stupid. This is all calculated. I don't know. I think it has to do just like with my soccer background. Like I just kind of know where my feet are constantly. You know? But
I don't know. When you say soccer,
like,
Johnny,
I don't think I'm in any danger when I'm running down really fast. You know, like, yeah, I've taken a couple pretty bad falls, but it's nothing that's really deterred me from doing it. But yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's something I really enjoy.
You're a thrill seeker.
Yeah, I'm sort of a thrill seeker. Like, but I've always really enjoyed downhill. It's like in training, like I don't take every single downhill like as fast as I can. But I definitely enjoy them. If that makes sense, you know, like, and I'm by no means conservative. And it's like, it's been a slow progression, I'd say. Like where I learned how to, when I started running, it was on my parents' ranch. And then there, it's just like off trail stuff. And then you just run up one hill and then straight down the face of another hill. And then like, so I guess I kind of just thought like, oh, this is trail running, but apparently it was more like fell running. So
yeah, I was, you know, when I was watching you in Big Bear, I was thinking you'd be great at fell running.
That's, yeah, I'd love to give it a try.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks awesome. Just all the, yeah, the fells look incredible.
I messaged Andrea, Jack, and I was like, you need to watch this and we can get a masterclass in how to run downhill, because that's, both of us said when we went to Mallorca, the downhills were a bit, we lost ground by being too tense downhill. I was like, watch Johnny downhill. I'm not saying we'll get even half your speed, but.
There was one point, John, which made me laugh. You sort of, I think you looked and you saw Atkins was a good sort of minute behind, and you sort of gave a bit of a heel click in midair as you were going downhill. You sort of like jumped off a rock and sort of traveled about a foot, 2 foot in the air. And it looked like
the path of least resistance, man. Yeah, it's the path of least resistance. The less ground contact time, the quicker you can move, I guess.
You should do coaching. You should give people lessons on climbing.
You are a coach there, Johnny, aren't you?
Yeah, I do some online coaching, just on the side of, because right now I'm still finishing up my degree in exercise science. I have an online class and then just training, and then I have a couple of online clients. And then it's run coaching based. Me and Ian Hozek, we work together. Hey. So I'm a coach under his company, and Ian actually coaches me in the running side of things.
Oh, nice.
That was my next question. I was going to say, are you still with Ian? Because we had Ian on about 3 or 4 months ago, and he was saying that
and
you
his
were...
dog.
Yeah, and his dog, yeah.
And Watson, yeah.
Watson. Yeah. Intro. Don't listen to the intro. He's in the intro. So, yeah, he was saying that you were the one to watch because he knew how good you could potentially could be this year.
Yeah, I mean, I got lucky with Ian. He's just such a... When it comes to coaches, he's a real workhorse, you know? He does his homework, he's just, when there's something new out there, he's willing to go after it and learn what it is, you know, and implement it.
Do you specialize in certain areas that you coach in? Do you prefer longer distance runners or anyone, newbies, elites?
No, anyone really. I'll coach anyone really. Because I don't have that many clients at the moment, but like each one of my clients, they specialize in something different. So yeah. That's pretty cool. You know, like I have a client, she does trail running and her focus is just gearing up for a 50K at the end of the year. So then that's really cool to progress her from literally like a 10K all the way to 50K over
nice.
The span, I don't know, like almost 2 years now. And then I have another client, he's in high school. And it's really cool to just, you know, to build his training in a way that keeps him engaged and not burnt out and still passionate, you know, and like showing that, like, yes, you can still run, like build speed without running yourself into the ground at such a young age. Cause like, that's the biggest thing with like so many of these high school athletes, especially here in the US, that you have like 15, 16 year olds, like putting in 80, 100 mile weeks. Like, of course, like, freaking like running by the end of high school, you know? So then
burnout.
Yeah, with my job with him is just like keeping it fun and like also like, yeah, keeping him quick and passionate and just showing him like the whole like a different world of sort of trail running and like how you can like make it really exciting still, you know?
It's great that at such a young age he's invested in a one-to-one coaching, because I know my old running club, they had massive groups all like from age 8 all the way through to us oldies, but the 16 to 18 year olds, they always went hard. You'd see them on their Strava, yeah. And even when they weren't at training, they were going so hard. They'd be putting in hours of flat out running, and some of them, we had a couple that went to the Olympics, but a lot of them got injured, gave up once they hit about 17, 18, because they just got burnt out because they don't know.
So like with this kid, like I noticed that he was running just too hard, too much. And I'm like, dude, just relax, man, relax. It's all right. And then it's like, not every day's a race, you know?
Just stick him up Big Bear, then he won't go fast.
Oh, he actually went to Big Bear.
Did he? Quite well.
So yeah, I was excited for that.
Did he do the Beast?
Yeah. He ran Elite.
Nice. So,
yeah, he's 16 right now, I think that sounds right. 15 or 16. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Good age. Good age to get into it. Yeah, 100%. Talking of Ian Hozek, what's he done? Have you seen him recently? Like the last 2 days?
He was a
Yeah,
big
so on Saturday he finished 5th.
And then he did the sprint. Yeah, did you not see that? He got 5th on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, and then at the sprint he split his head open in the barbed wire.
And I think he was in third until that tire, and he couldn't the second time round.
Yeah, he was in second or third, and then he cut his head open, which sucks.
Awful. Tire, so I'm really trying to dig it out. I felt so sorry for him. Everyone passing him, the second clip, he just couldn't get his hands on it.
I talked to him yesterday, and I mean, he's good. It's just like he just needs to not hit his head on anything for the next couple of days.
Avoid barbed wire.
Yeah, avoid barbed wire.
I'm really surprised they still have barbed wire on the course. Like, there's so many, like with Woods ripped his legs open the other day.
Woods. Yeah.
Lindsay's got a hair cornered a few times. Now he's literally sliced his head open. I wonder at what point they'll say, enough's enough, let's get some bungee cord in there.
Yeah, not even bungee cord. It can be literally just like, I don't know, like horse fences, just flat wire, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and just make it super low, you know? It's like the barbed wire doesn't really add to the sport, you know? It kind of just like scratches people and
ruins a nice shirt.
Ruins plenty of gear.
I had to throw my Monstercle top away from St. Clair completely. Oh, yeah. And I've still got scratches on my back.
Yeah, I have so many scratches on my back.
And I lost half my fringe.
My fringe, yeah.
Yeah. If it wasn't Spartan Racing, what would you be doing right now? Back into football or soccer or?
No, I'd probably just be trail running. Just pure trail running. Something I'm really passionate about is trail running. So I'm gonna be doing a couple of mountain races this year. So in June I'll be doing Broken Arrow Sky Race, which is just a trail race at Squaw Valley. Yeah. And then in August I'll probably be doing Pikes Peak Marathon or one in Switzerland. Matterhorn Extreme. So that's one of the just more technical sky races on the circuit. Just depending where I get in. But hopefully it's Pikes Peak Marathon. Yeah. So
that is a beautiful place to run, isn't it, Switzerland?
Yeah, and just like they made a new course there this year, and it's just really technical over like class 3, class 4 terrain. So it's like a mix between running and scrambling and climbing through mountains. So that just excites me, you know. Like I'd love to do like a whole sky running series one year and maybe next year, you know. If the series are played out the same way as they were this year, then I'll definitely program in some sky races next year.
And any other OCRs this year, Johnny, like other than Spartan, any of the American versions of OCR?
No Savage Race, no NORAM championships. Cause like in the past years, like one of my biggest struggles was injuries. Like last year it was just ridiculous. I think by the time May came around, I had been sidelined for almost like 2 months out of the 5 months of the year, which is just like, it's unreal. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So then this year, like my biggest goal was to be able to just be injury free, you know? So if that means do less races, then so be it. I'm okay with that. Like I'd rather do the series and do a good job in them and then do my trail races, do a good job in those, and then show up to Lake Tahoe ready to rock. Yeah.
Talking of the series, where do you stand now? Sorry, where do you stand now?
You were joint.
Yeah,
fourth,
right now, I was in fifth, I think. Somehow Kirk had one more point than me. Apparently, no, not anymore. Right now I'm in third. Right now I'm in third. So it's Ryan Atkins, Ryan Kempson, me, and then Ryan Kent, and then Kirk.
And your favorite races to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, Utah. I mean, we'll see. Like Utah, it's at a ski resort, so that's a good sign. I mean, like I looked at the summer trail map, and they have some steep trails there, so we shall see.
So basically, you just shit everyone up, haven't you, Johnny? Let's be honest. Ryan's at home, like shaking now, like this. No,
I thought I had it in the bag.
Yeah, all the Ryans are like, oh, what do we do? Especially Kempson, he must be thinking, what more can I do?
It's funny, like. Me and Kempson were really good friends. He used to be my coach, my strength coach. So we talk all the time. And then the points right now, they're set up in a way that like I need to either win or finish second in Utah.
Yeah, easy.
And then Kempson has to, if I finish first, he needs to finish fourth for me to finish second in the series. But if I finish second in Utah, he has to finish outside of the top four for me.
You haven't thought about this at all.
No, we were having.
They've been like counting points.
It was Matt B. Davis. Like on Saturday after the race, we were just sitting down, having burgers, and then he was like, "Let's do the math." And then he just pulls out his damn calculator and is like,
"With people like Ryan Woods, who now can't win, or Vijay because he missed a race."
It'd be
because they could now come in, because Woodsy looked good again at the weekend. You know, he seems to have improved. He got over his injuries and what have you. His mindset's right.
He didn't touch anything he shouldn't.
No, yeah. If those guys come in, they could really mix the spoils up with you guys, couldn't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, Ryan Woods and Vijay, they're just like such constant threats on any course, you know, and especially Vijay, because like, he is a good descender, and then like that super distance suits him really well. And then, they can totally just screw up the points, you know, like if they're in the top three, and then it's just like me and Kempson in like, I don't know, fourth and fifth or something, and then we're just gonna be like, oh damn.
So hold on, what we got left? Utah, that's a beast, right?
Yeah, Utah. Yeah, it's a Utah super.
I was gonna say, Vijay probably won't do the beast because he's focusing on the short, but if it's a super, he might. And there's another one, right? Hold on. No, that's the last one.
No, that's the last one. And then you have the West Virginia race, the North American Championships in August, end of August.
So when's Utah?
July 20th, 21st, something like that.
So you've got a bit of a couple of months.
Yeah, it looks like 2 months, so I'm excited for that. I mean, like, I just enjoy the actual act of training so much. Like, by the time, like, races come around and I need a taper, I'm just, like, sad because I can't go on my long run. I'm like, damn, I just got to, like, lay down and rest now.
Jack, I just thought, that's the same day as our series race, so we cannot complain about hills at Marston Lodge.
No,
these guys will be.
Not complain about hills in England at all. I mean, there is no mountains in England. It's fine. I forgot what I was going to say. I completely forgot what I was going to say. I had something until you interrupted me then.
Dolly, you're on mute.
the idiot. Now you were saying just before the podcast, you have a week off recovery. Blah blah blah. Without getting too much away, Johnny, because no doubt all those people you've mentioned we've had on as guests, so they probably will see your name and listen to this to see what Johnny's doing. But so don't give away too much. But do you feel like now you take the time to focus on like what you can improve, or do you still work on your downhill because that's where you succeeded, or do you work on weaknesses? What's your sort of protocol now going into Utah?
I mean, I'm going to just keep building diligently throughout the year, you know, learning, I guess. Like, the thing with me with the super distance, it's figuring out where that red line is, you know, and, like, how hard I can push without, like, blowing up at the obstacles. So I'm going to obviously reflect on the past, like, three super distance races we've had. I guess, honestly, like, I'm going to build as if I were training for Tahoe, you know, and I think that will put me in a good spot for Utah, and I'm gonna train in a way that I genuinely enjoy, so like a nice, I don't know, mountain adventures, and I think it'll take care of itself, to be honest. Like, I'm not gonna do any like crazy focus towards Utah, like, okay, there could potentially be this amount of elevation gain, blah blah blah, and all that, you know. Like, I got to ascend at this speed. And I think, I don't know, I think if I focus my training like that, like, especially driven to win, like, it's just going to burn me out and piss me off.
You definitely seem like you're the sort of racer that races with a complete free mind. When I was watching you, you just looked like you were having so much fun. The smile on your face, do you know what I mean? Like, at the end, it was so lovely to see, like, your mother and your brother and your sisters there. And at one point you actually grabbed, I think it was your mum's hand?
Mum's hand, yeah.
And I suddenly thought, shit, they're going to DQ for being helped.
I was like, oh no, don't DQ.
don't DQ him. But I don't know if they were shouting to you, no, I don't know. But and where was the fire come to that? Why was there no fire?
Oh yeah, no fire jump.
So
oh, yeah, no fire jump. No. Yeah, in California, like, that's lethal. You can't have any fires in California. Yeah. Like, everything just, like, catches on fire. But, yeah, I mean, like, another one of my goals just as an athlete was, like, I don't see the need to sacrifice, like, just parts of training that you're truly passionate about in order to achieve something, you know? So, like, for me, like, I genuinely enjoy, like, doing, like, technical mountain runs and then scrambling through mountains and all that and just getting on the bike. And so I'm just gonna, that's what I've been doing like this whole year, and it's keeping me fresh and willing, like I'm hungry to train, you know. So I'm gonna, that's exactly what I'm gonna keep doing, like going into Utah and Spartan Race World Champs. But like, I still obviously look at my weaknesses and my strengths, you know, and like, I try to improve those because, like, yeah, I'm super competitive as it is, you know. So, I don't ignore my weaknesses, you know, and I definitely will be, you know, improving those going into the next races. Yeah.
Well, do you feel like you've got a lot more confidence now? You've beaten someone like Ryan Atkin. Not saying you couldn't beat him before, but now you've done it and you've done it well. Does that give you lots of confidence going into Tahoe, thinking, do you know what? Come on, John Alvin, I can take you now.
Careful.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird kind of thing, you know? It's like, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely confident. Like a win like this, it makes me think, like, damn, I wonder what I could do at Tahoe. Like, I wonder if we would have taken the Johnny from Saturday and plopped him into a past Tahoe race, like, what would have came out, you know? I don't know. I can't get too caught up with that, you know? I'm just going to focus on my day-to-day process, and then when Tahoe comes around, it's going to be time to play, and then we'll see who comes out on top.
I think we've had this discussion, haven't we, Jack, recently, about if you focus too much on everybody else in the competition, you go to pot. But if you just focus on what you're doing, enjoying what you're doing, you tend to have a much better race.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I tried to do on Saturday, you know? It's like, one thing I've struggled with in past, like, world championships and, like, just other races, like, I would get comfortable racing, running next to somebody. And then, like, as I was, just, like, early in the race, or, like, when I was just me and Ryan Atkins, like, I just made sure to, like, stay true to my, intensity and, like, where I was at, just to make sure, that I was giving myself an honest effort. 'Cause, like, past races, it's like I'd finish the race and be like, damn, I'm not tired. You know, just cause I was running with somebody else, you know, and I was like afraid. So like, one of my biggest goals for Big Bear was like, okay, give like a true, honest effort, you know? So when you get to the finish line, you know, you did what you could do, you know? Yeah, exactly. That I gave it my all. Like, so like, I knew there was like a chance that I could blow up, but I also knew that there was a chance that I could do something really special.
And it's so rewarding when you do that as well, Johnny. I mean, in your case, you won, but I had a very similar thing a couple of weeks ago in a sprint here in England. And I'm that person that sits behind someone and talks myself into finishing second. That makes sense. Like, oh, I can't be too good. I'm going to finish. And I know Natasha has it's a mindset thing. And this weekend, the last weekend gone, you know, I broke that and I went out and I gave it everything I could and I won by a minute and a half. But that's amazing. Yeah. Like, and then you think, shit, how often have I been doing that when I could have been, you know, but I do things. I mean, how old are you, John?
I'm 23.
Oh, so jealous.
So young. So yeah, I generally do think that's an age thing as well. And especially with Spartan racing, people don't realize, yes, okay, it is a running race. It is an obstacle race. But so much of Spartan racing is a mindset thing. You know, the spear is a mindset. Anybody can hit the spear, but it's a mindset thing. You know, you put two people next to each other hitting that spear, 9 times out of 10, if your mind's not there, you're going to miss the spear.
That's me.
Yeah, it's so rewarding when you actually do it and it pays off. And even if you'd finished second, Johnny, or third, I'm pretty sure you would have been still happy with your performance. But yeah. Even better that you finished, you know, a minute, 2 minute ahead of Ryan Atkins of all people, you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm gonna make a promise here, Jack, for this weekend. I hate sprints. Freaking hate sprints. I like beasts. And I'm scared of that redlining and thinking, oh, once I hit that contact, I'm going to leave it all out there on Saturday, Sunday. We're Sunday. Because it's a blimmin' sprint. And if I don't, and I'm happy and I'm talking to you afterwards, Jack, tell me off. I want to be collapsed on the floor.
The problem is, where are we going, Johnny? So Ireland have done like a race this year. And the problem is, it's not a race course. So it's completely flat.
Yeah.
And it confuses all of us because... Even in England, I say we don't know hills, but we are so used to Spartan picking the worst hill and putting us up there with a bucket or a bag, you know. So this is going to be really interesting, and it will be mind games. It will come down to the fastest flat runner. And if you know you've got that speed in your legs, you'd do quite well. But then it comes down to mindset of just, like you say, redlining or not redlining too much, but knowing your ability to run the race. And I suppose it's the same for you. If you've trained the hills, Big Bear was exactly the same for you.
Perfect for you.
Yeah, exactly. What speed were you running, John, just out of interest? I know it's difficult to say with an OCR, but what was your average pace after obstacles?
What was your pace uphill versus downhill?
I mean, uphill is funny. Like, you can't really... I have no idea what my uphill pace was, to be honest. It was probably something, like, stupid, like, I don't know, 18 minutes per mile, just because
you're hiking up. With
a heart rate of 195. Yeah. But then there's like a lot more gradual grades up top, so that were just like completely runnable. That like I've trained on before, and then on those like I would keep myself accountable because when you're on different grades, like, you know, you have a vague idea like, okay, I can definitely go faster than this speed. So then during the race, it was like a 9:30 mile or a 9 minute mile. Then I was like, okay, you got to match the speed like for the duration of this hill. And then like, as soon as something flat would come up, then I was like, okay, then you got to be sub 5:45 minutes per mile pace or sub 5:30 if it was completely flat. Because like, I knew like it's not going to be long flat, but I knew, that I was being chased. So like,
cause if you put all those little flats together at sub 5:30, that's where you get your seconds.
Yeah.
And then downhill.
Downhill, I was doing 2:45.
And then downhill, right. I just ran downhill like I know how to run downhill. And then...
like a madman.
I figured that would take care of itself. But yeah, I mean, I can't give you like an average pace. I mean, like...
No.
Robin says it's like 10 minutes per mile or something like that. But... I can't put my finger on an average pick.
Do you track your heart rate when you're racing, Johnny? Anything like that on your watch, or do you do it all by feel?
Big Bear was all... No, it's generally all by feel. Sometimes I wear a heart rate monitor just out of curiosity. I'll look at it after the race. But yeah, I don't track my heart rate during the race, but I do in training. In training. Because like on tempo runs and like long runs and stuff like that, I like knowing just like to ballpark it, just to know where I'm at. Like, that's one of the things like that's so nice about working with Ian. He does give you heart rate zones, and like not coming from a running background, so it's really useful to know like, okay, in my tempo runs I feel like this is how my breathing is, and then like come race day, like you kind of try to match that depending on the intensity, you know, like if it's a super, then it's like, okay, like let's like pace it really similar to like a long tempo run. Like if it's a beast, then like, okay, your breathing wants to be like a little more intact, than it would be like during a tempo run, you know? But yeah, in races, I don't track heart rate.
Do you have ambitions of doing anything longer, Johnny? Like the ultras or 24-hour race? I mean, you're so young. When you get older?
Yeah, I definitely want to do some ultras, like 50, 80. 50, let's start with 50K, like a mountainous 50K, like a Trumzo Sky Race or like a Glencoe Skyline or a Trofeo Cima in Italy, stuff like that. So like that's a 50K with about 15,000 feet of elevation gain. Just over technical terrain.
You don't fancy the Moab 240 then?
The Moab 240? No.
238 miles.
No, I'm good. I'm good on that. but no, I actually would like to do something like a Hard Rock 100, or even a Western States, like all those super prestigious mountain races, like
for the belt buckle.
Yeah, for the belt buckle.
We only race for bling, Johnny. We don't, you know, that's what we race for.
Exactly. Yeah. the swag. But like, I definitely want to get into the marathon distance. I think that's the next step for me in trail running, is to learn how to run that like 30K to 42K to 50K distance well. I think that's something I could really enjoy. And yeah, that I think next year I'll definitely be going over to Europe to do some competitive trail races. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. But things first, let's focus on on this year.
National series.
At home.
Yeah.
Definitely watching out for you now. I think everyone else will be watching out for you now, but yeah, that'd be good to see how you get on. Before we go, Johnny, we're going to finish with a bit of quick fire round. So I know Natasha loves doing a bit of quick fire. I'm pretty sure she's...
I'm not prepared for this.
I know, or just anything. Do you know what I mean? I'll start. Here we go. Favorite obstacle of the weekend, Johnny?
Twister and downhill running.
OCR shoe of choice?
The VJ Sports.
100%. Yes!
VJ Sport Extremes.
Is that what you had at the weekend, Johnny?
No, I didn't have them because I was having some blister issues from just rock climbing and stuff like that. So I opted for just a wider shoe. And like the course, it was like you really didn't need like something super technical and grippy because like the course was just like it's just like a smooth dirt hill.
It looked like you just had quite flat trainers on. In all fairness, when I looked at it, it didn't have.
You're in Nikes.
Yeah, I was in the Nike trail shoe.
Yeah, I was like, Nikes.
Yeah, and then the day before, like that Thursday, I went for a run and everything was quite muddy. So then I ran my VJs, but then the next day everything dried up, like just completely dry. And I was like, okay, so I think I can save my feet and run in the Nikes.
I thought you might have put the Vaporflies on for that 4%.
Oh yeah, the 4%. It's funny because my roommate, he's a Nike trail guy, and then he also does road running. He's a pro road runner too. So then he's always running in those 4%, and those are some crazy shoes. You move quick in those.
You're in good company if you live with a Nike trail runner, road runner. You live with the right person.
Yeah, his name's Andy Wacker. Andy Wacker. Yeah, he's doing the Solomon Golden Trail Series this year. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that trail series.
I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, check out Solomon Golden Trail Series and then Andy Wacker. He's a fast dude. Yeah.
This quick fire round turned into a really slow fire.
Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. Quick fire.
Nutrition of choice on the race.
Nutrition of choice. Something liquid. Liquid calories.
Liquid calories, yeah. Nice and easy to get in, I suppose.
I like
eating. No, liquid calories, 100%.
What about before the race, breakfast? Please don't tell me you do it fasted like every other bugger.
No, I don't fast. All right. Before the race, I'll get like a little bit of oatmeal. I'll mash a banana into it and then douse it in honey. Well, not douse it, like drown it in honey. And then I'll eat that.
Basically, he gets a jar of honey, he puts the banana in the jar, and
a few little sprinkles of oats.
That's pretty much it. Like, anyone that know, like, the people that live with me or, like, train with me, like, I'll be honest, like, I drink so much honey and maple syrup. It's, like, probably, it's just what I do, man. Like,
it's power great. Fuel, maple syrup. That's why the Canadians are so good.
There's the secret.
Yeah, it's...
sponsor, like ideal sponsor of choice. Who would you want?
Probably like Solomon, because of all their sweet gear. They're sweet. They make good shoes. They make good skis. probably Salomon or like a Dynafit. Dynafit would be pretty awesome just because of all their mountain gear. Yeah, something like that. That'd be pretty rad.
Yeah, if you could be running, I'm going to nick the obstacle dominator question. Is it theirs? If you could be running anywhere in the world right now, where would it be?
Norway.
Ooh. Oh, you would be like John Allen.
Yeah,
go
Norway.
Meet up with John.
Yeah, go meet up with John and Killian Jornet.
I'm assuming you ski then as well, Johnny.
Yeah, this past winter I started doing ski mountaineering. So like it was just my cross training. So I'd run, I don't know, a couple days a week, nothing crazy, but then I'd put in a whole bunch of time on skis.
Yeah, a lot to say for that. I mean, Johnny and Susan and Kotsamova are two people that do that, you know, every winter, and it seems to do them all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great for me. I mean, I was still developing my running. Like, I was still getting faster running, but I was saving my joints, and I was able to practice my uphill climbing. Just, but you're on skis the whole time. I had to teach myself to ski in the beginning of the year, so that was kind of terrifying.
Oh no!
That's why he's got no fear.
This is he's got the bravery.
Funny you should say that. I bought some skins. They're like roller skis, but skis. They're for cross country skiing.
We don't have any snow.
We don't have any snow, but they're obviously for the road. And I did a bit of that this winter, and actually, really good for the leg strength. And like you say, low impact, really good.
How do you stop on those?
And they've got a brake on the back, so you lean back. But you don't do that. You just fall on your ass.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking about getting a pair for the roads and stuff, but it's kind of terrifying. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm going down a hill and I can't stop. Yeah.
So mine are the tourists. So basically, you can unclip them so you get the ski cross, or you can clip them in. They're like skates. But when they're in skate mode, I mean, I used to do a lot of skating, so I'm quite confident in them, and balance-wise, I'm pretty good. But I must admit, when I've got them in skate mode and I'm going along at like 20 miles an hour downhill, it is a little bit like, you know, you have to you have to be pretty sort of stupid, really.
Oh, sort of stupid. Damn.
But they're good for the legs. I mean, I just found that when you were trying to run sort of 50, 60 mile a week in the winter, that just takes its toll. So like, you know, whacking those on and doing 20, 30 mile in those a week was really helping. It meant my running could be cut down, but I was still getting the leg strength in.
Yeah, exactly. That was the idea with the schema. John Alvin does some skiing too.
Ski touring, yeah. So they skin up, don't they? So he basically walks up to the top of the mountain and skis down.
Yeah. That's what I was doing.
You get really crazy, you tie like a tire behind you, so then it feels like you're going uphill, because we have no hills around here. That cramps up your glutes nicely, I tell you.
Johnny, what's your one, if you had to do one strength training exercise for the rest of your life, what would it be and no other?
Kettlebell swing.
Yeah, I love a kettlebell swing.
Yeah, kettlebell swing. Yeah, deadlift's good too. I mean, there's a Turkish getup too. But definitely.
Oh, I'm not coordinated kind of enough for that.
I like a Turkish.
I'd probably choose the kettlebell swing. Yeah.
And if you retired tomorrow, Johnny, what would you do?
If I retired tomorrow?
Yeah, from OCR, retired.
You'd run up a mountain.
Yeah, I'll just go play in the mountains. Go play in the mountains. Yeah.
And if you a music track to pump you up for a race.
Ah, damn. I don't listen to music, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not. You know, it's funny. It's like I did the exact opposite of pump up for like before Big Bear. Like I woke up, I did my breakfast and all that, and then I meditated, and then I was like, okay, I'm ready to race.
I have to admit, listening to a podcast and switching off on a run is when I have my best runs, and then in a race, I try and just take myself away to that space, sort of learn to just. Is that meditating?
That's meditating. It's meditative, at least.
I find it funny that you should say that. I find like running meditative. Like if I can get myself in like a real nice trail, I find that really meditative. Like you just, you know, sometimes you forget how you even got there.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can go for hours, just like no music, nothing, just running through the mountains, and yeah. It's okay if I'm alone in complete silence.
we're such hermits, aren't we? We're just like going out on the trails for hours on our own.
I mean, like, No, I definitely enjoy running with people. I enjoy it a lot, you know, but sometimes people just don't want to run with you. So you're like, okay, whatever, I'll run alone.
Because you're too fast.
No chance. No thanks.
I got one more. What's the weirdest thing you've seen out on a trail?
Oh, damn.
Or scariest?
I ran into a couple big kitty cats before. That was pretty scary.
Ian carries bear spray. Do you carry bear spray?
No, I don't carry bear spray. Like, I'm Boulder. Like, there's just so many people on the trails that you just, I really don't see why a bear would be like there, you know? But like out in California, I have seen like plenty. I've seen a mountain lion before. I've seen a bobcats and a bunch of coyotes and wild boar. Yeah, oh. I mean, I think the scariest is the wild boar.
Yeah.
Because they like, yeah, they're mean. Vicious. The mountain lion kind of just like sizes you up and leaves, but then the wild boar is just like
attack.
Yeah. Yeah. So nothing super weird. Nothing super weird.
We just
saw an owl the other day.
Yeah, we made sure we got owl by a stag. That's about the worst we can get. Or monk jack.
A monk jack?
Well, yeah, they're like a little tiny deer. But the problem is they sit deep in like the woods and stuff. And then if you disturb them, they run out right in front of you. But they're quite hazardous because they just run straight at you. Not because they want to hurt
really
you.
Cute. Yeah. They're cute.
They're scared of you, but they don't. They just run at you. And if you want one of them hit you, that yeah, I think that's good night.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I love the fact that we're like, oh, those monk deer. He's got mountain lions. All those little cute bambies.
Sound lethal. They sound lethal.
No, he's not. He's making it up.
They're on my wall. Look, can you see?
Yeah.
The last one that ran into me. It ended up being a wall decoration.
I think my dog's probably, you can't see it. I've got a scar on my elbow from my dog. He ran straight underneath my legs when we were running and I just stacked it and skinned it on my elbow.
What kind of dog is it?
Beagle.
I love dog.
Oh,
it's
beagle.
A beagle? Those can run?
Oh, he loves running. Yeah, but yeah. I joined a canny cross with him though and you just let him go off the lead because you can't have him on a harness. He won't pull you. He's like, no, you do the work. So I just let him off the lead. My friend cycles with his dogs and he loves chasing them.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely a follower.
I have a Ridgeback, but she's not much of a runner, so she's more of a recovery partner, let's put it that way.
Gizmo won't be doing any tempos with me. He's definitely a recovery run dog.
Yeah.
I think my dog could go out all day and it still wouldn't be knackered. That's the problem.
Oh, nice.
No dog, yeah.
Little Springer or Sprocker, but she's just nuts.
I've done a race with Husky before and my feet did not touch the floor. I've got a picture of me and my feet are not on the floor because he's probably about three times my weight.
Just pulling you.
Oh, do you know the 5K record for a canny cross?
Oh, no.
Yes. 12:53.
Oh, shit. That's way faster than I was going to guess.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
What kind of dog is this?
It's a mix. So it's like a European racing dog crossed with a greyhound, crossed with a husky called Blaze. But the bloke says he has to not run with him too much because it knackers his quads, ruins his own training. Yeah, because he's a track runner himself. So he says he can only run with his dog on certain days because he has to recover from it.
I'm going to have to find one of these.
Johnny, I don't think they're allowed in Spartan.
No, that would be awful. Johnny with a dog, not a good idea. I think even the dog would look at you, Johnny, and go, not a chance I'm going down there at your speed, mate. Not a chance. Right, on that note, I was going to make a joke there, but I'm really not going to make a joke.
No, don't.
Johnny, thank you very much for taking the time out after your race. Best of luck for Utah and Tahoe. Well done.
Where can people find you?
Thanks guys, thank you, I really appreciate it. You can find me just Instagram at Johnny Luna Lima.
That's Luna Lima, yeah, but not Luna Limba Jack
or Luma Lima
or Luna, yeah. Lima, Luna.
Luna Lima
Johnny
Luna Lima
Luna or
yeah, Johnny Luna Lima. Yeah, that works. Or Facebook. Yeah, but I think Instagram's easier. I'm on that more.
Yeah, awesome. We'll link that to the show notes, Johnny. All the best, mate. Thank you very much for coming on. Cheers, John.
Thanks, Johnny. All right,
thank you.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
How do I pronounce your name? Thomas Van Tonda?
Yes, that's the closest you're going to get to it, so...
Trust me, that's the closest I will get to it, for sure. Thomas Van Tonda.
This is Ryan Kent, and you've been listening to OCR Audio.
I'm Ian Hosek, and you've been listening to OCR Audio.